Well, surprise. Yeah. This morning, I want to talk about and remind you of the power of your words. The power of your words. You know, just a while ago, you guys confessed some words over the offering prayer. But how many of you even thought about what you were confessing? Some of you may have. Most of you probably didn't. You were just saying words because we told you to say words. Right? You want to confess that? But you know, there is power in your words, or you might say it another way, there's power in your confessions. So, once again, we are, you know, Brother Ernie says, Lynette, nobody can lead that prayer like you can. And I don't do it very often, but you know what? Right now, we're going to say it again. Are you ready to do that? Here we go. Are you ready? This is my seed. I sow it into the kingdom of God. I sow because I love God and want to see Rhema Bible Church continue to fulfill what God has called us to do. I believe that as I sow my seed, it shall be given unto me. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It shall come back to me in many ways. I thank you, Lord, for good opportunities coming my way. I thank you that the windows of heaven are opening because of my obedience to sow my seed. I thank you, Lord, for the favor of God upon my life and the grace to prosper as you have promised me in your word. Hallelujah. You know, when I began writing this sermon, I just thought I was going to write about one section of this sermon. But as I began to look at it, I thought, man, how powerful this whole thing is. As I said, you know, if you've been here for very long, you have made this confession every Sunday. Every Sunday. But let me ask you, how many of you have actually benefited from those confessions that you made? Good, I'm glad. I'm glad that there are some of you that really took a hold of what this confession was all about. But there are those of you that you've just said it, and after today, after every Sunday, you just forgot about it. You know, I said the offering prayer. But, you know, there is more to, you know, we have sometimes, years ago, we concentrated on, or Brother Hagin concentrated on confessing our saying. And let's look at that scripture, Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall what? Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou not cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall what? Believe that those things which he what? Saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever what he saith. And then, of course, he would also read verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, for those of you that were privileged to hear my father-in-law minister, so many times when he was ministering about saying, he says, you got to say it. The scripture in verse 23 says, you got to say it, what? Three times more than believing it. Well, you know what? We've been saying it more than three times, right? That's important. Confession is very important. But guess what? That's not all of the equation. That's not all of the equation. Not only do you have to say it, but what do you have to do? You have to believe it. You have to have faith that whatsoever you are saying shall come to pass. And so we must align our belief with our confession. We must align our belief with our confession. Yeah, it's one thing to confess it. It's another thing to believe it and act upon it. You know, just imagine yourself, you're walking, you're going over this real quickie, this bridge that it looks like it's about to fall down. And there's a body of water below you that it's 100 feet deep. And, you know, you can say, I believe that I can get over this bridge. But do you really believe? I mean, you can say it all you want to, but until you step your foot onto that bridge, believing that it will take you to the other side, yes, not going to happen. I know when I was a teenager, I still don't swim, okay? I didn't swim. And so I was going out on a boat with it was a guy. He had a boat. It was long before me and Pastor were ever a number. And so he had this really pretty boat. And a 57 Chevrolet car. But anyway. But anyway, he was a skier. His family, you know, they loved to go out in the boat and ski. And so he said, well, I want to teach you how to ski. And I said, well, I don't swim. And he said, that's okay. Here's a life jacket. That life jacket will hold you up. Well, you know, I saw that life jacket hold other people up. But am I going to believe that that life jacket will hold me up when I am 50 feet of water and I can't swim? I will tell you, it took me a little while to believe that that life jacket, to have faith in that life jacket, that it was going to hold me up. Guess what? It did. And for probably the first and only time in my life, I got up on skis. You kids didn't even know I ever did that. That's a secret that you didn't know about me. But, you know, it's only when you step out in faith. It's a commitment. It is a commitment. But let me say to you, you know, in believing God for things, start out with the little things. You need to learn how to, you know, to grow your faith. For instance, someone that is building up their muscles, you know. Well, when they start to build up their muscles, they don't go and lift 200 pounds. What do? They have to start with a lesser weight and then they build it up. The same way with our faith. Don't start out believing God for such a large thing. Start out with the little things in your life. You see, that's what helps to build your trust in him. You know, have I had failures? Absolutely. We all have failures in our faith walk. It's just like when you're going to play a sports game, you know, football game or basketball game or whatever. You go expecting to win, right? But are there times that you lose? Absolutely. Does that mean that you quit going into the game to win? No, you keep on going and going and going. That's the same way. Don't quit just because you saw something that you believe for, that you confess for, did not come into reality. Don't quit believing God. Don't quit believing God. Hallelujah. Now, let's look at the first confession that we make here. It says, I believe that as I sow my seed, it shall be given unto me. How? Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Now, so many times we think of that, and of course, Luke 6:38. Let's look at Luke 6:38. That's what this confession is taken from. I'm going to read this in the New Living Translation. It says, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together, to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Now, we take that sometimes as we're making that confession, we take it and we think that we're only looking at a monetary, a return in it. That it's money that we're supposed to receive from that. But, and then so many times when we don't see a financial return, we think, oh, well, that didn't work. Well, look how we specified. We said, it shall come back to me in many ways. In many ways. As Brother Hagin would say, as he was praying for the sick, he'd say, one way, not the only way that Jesus heals. Well, there are many, many ways that we receive blessings. Pressed down, shaking together, running over. It shall come back to us in many ways. Now, and then we confess, I thank you, Lord, what? For good opportunities coming my way. You know, I think that that is an area that we have failed to understand, that we must recognize the opportunities that come our way. We must recognize the opportunities that come our way. Yes. You know, we not only have to recognize them, and there is another slide there that says that. There, we must not only recognize them, but we have to act upon them, right? You know, there may have been good opportunities that have come your way and you haven't recognized them and you have not acted upon them and you have missed opportunities because you were not sensitive enough to hear the voice of God saying, this is a good opportunity. This is a good opportunity. Or sometimes, you know, opportunities come our way and we are afraid. Or we think that we're not qualified. You know, a job opportunity may come your way or a promotion in your job. And what do? It's an opportunity that God wants to bless you with, but you're afraid that you cannot perform whatever needs to be performed for that position, so you turn it down. You turn it down. There, God has presented an opportunity for you, and you've turned it down. I can just imagine sometimes that. Don't you imagine that God may just get really upset at us? It's like, I brought this to them. And they said no. Well, I kind of look at it this way. If you keep on saying no, God's not going to bring those opportunities your way. So you better say yes, step out in faith, and act up on that opportunity. Now, sometimes, you know, as I said, we don't recognize something as an opportunity. All right? And sometimes we need to ask. Thank you, Father, that this opportunity, I need an opportunity to come my way. Well, this is probably an opportunity, a thing that you probably may have never thought of as an opportunity, okay? But I said to God, thank you, God, you know, you've heard our story of how we met, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, after there was a breakup in a relationship, I said to God, I thank you, Father, for bringing my spouse across my way. Thank you, Father. Well, guess what? To make a very long story and a very wonderful story, you know, shorter, because we don't need to talk about it all, but an opportunity came that I could have missed. How did that opportunity come? Well, my mother was traveling. My mother and dad was traveling with another minister who they never really ever traveled with before or since, to a prayer conference. They were ministers, and in the back of the car, this pastor's wife said to my mother, "What is Lynette doing now? Is she in a relationship with anyone?" And mother said, "No." And so this pastor's wife said, "Well, you remember Kenneth Wayne Hagen?" And they said, "Well," she said, "you know, he was engaged to this girl. This girl broke the engagement while he was overseas in the military, and he doesn't get any letters. And so I wonder if Lynette would like to write him." Well, it took a little while before mother even told me about it. But, because I was living in an apartment, but I went over to her house to eat, and she said, "Oh, yeah, by the way," she told me the story. And I thought about it. And I thought, I don't know if I should do this, because you see, girls, in my generation, women never made the first move. Any of you with me, ladies? In fact, if you did, you were not considered a very good woman. I won't say what you were considered. No, I'm in the pulpit. Okay, here God was bringing an opportunity of what I even asked my way. But guess what? If I did not act upon it, it would have never happened. It would have never happened. And so by faith, I acted upon that opportunity, went and got me some perfume stationery. Yeah. Wrote a 10-page letter. I I'm a good writer, so I just told him my life story, you know. Inserted a picture and mailed it. Was there apprehension? Absolutely. You know, would he write me back? All those questions. Sometimes when opportunity comes our way, there are questions that the enemy will bring to you. But you guess what? You got to ignore the enemy's voice and listen to the voice of the Lord. So guess what? If I had not acted up on that, you know, I would not have been here today. You would not have had the best first lady that there is. I'm just kidding y'all, but you know, I just had to insert that. Yeah, but opportunities. So opportunities come in various forms, and you must be sensitive to recognize those opportunities. Next, sometimes we must prepare for opportunities. We must prepare for opportunities. Sometimes the Lord has opportunities that he wants to give to us, but it takes preparation. It takes preparation. Sometimes we don't recognize that God is really preparing us for future opportunities that he wants to bring our way. And we look at how he's preparing us and we don't like it. And so we're not faithful to walk the journey that he has for us to prepare us for the opportunities that he has in the future. You see, God's plan for your life is not instant. It is a journey. He is preparing us for every opportunity that he wants to present to us and give to us. But so many times we fail the test in the journey. We don't understand why we're having to do what we're having to do. And so we decide, nah, I don't want to do that. How is that going to benefit me? Whoa. So self-centered. How is that going to benefit me? You know, Joseph spent years in preparation. Trials, prison, preparing him for his ultimate role in Egypt. You know, he didn't question. He just endured. And then finally, the opportunity came. Finally, the opportunity came. Now I'll talk about my husband. You know, as associate pastor for my dad, you know, I mean, so many times you think of an associate pastor, oh yeah, you're going to go to the hospital, you're going to do these things, but you're going to get to preach. Well, guess what? Associate pastor for my dad sometimes meant pouring concrete. Sometimes it meant, in fact, at his funeral, one of his associates said, if you worked for V.E. Tipton, you poured concrete. It meant building. It meant, you know, literally building, hammering nails, because my dad was always building. It meant getting up on the roof and putting tar up there where the roof was leaking. It meant cleaning the toilets. It meant all of those things of which my husband had no idea that God was preparing him for. It meant, you know, working with contractors, with those that were, he would be out there early in the morning with these two guys who were carpenters. When he first started, I'm sure he probably wasn't very good at carpentering. But God was preparing him for the future. At that particular time, none of us had any idea what God had planned for us. And yet, as God unfolded that plan, 21 buildings to oversee, to build. You know, if he had not been prepared and prepared himself, not questioning. I mean, he's working for my dad. And you know, it's really easy to complain. Do you know, not once did my husband ever complain about working for my dad. You know, I think about it now, it's like, oh my goodness, he sure had a lot of times he could have complained. But no, he was faithful. He was faithful. And as he was faithful to do what God had him doing right now, eventually God had other plans, opportunities, things that God was preparing him for. So, we must prepare for opportunities. Many times, missed opportunities come from making wrong decisions. Missed opportunities come from making wrong decisions. Proverbs 3:5 in the Passion Translation says this: trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. It is so very important that we always consult God in every opportunity that comes to make sure that we are making right decisions. Because you see, there are good opportunities, but good opportunities does not always mean that those are God opportunities. The enemy can bring good opportunities your way, but we want the God opportunities. And so it's so very important that we listen to his voice. Make sure that you consult God before embarking on decisions. And don't make those decisions until you have peace. Do you know why it has taken so long for that chapel to be finished? Because I am wrestling with decisions. I know that when I make a decision on that, for the carpet, for the pews, for whatever, first of all, it's an expensive decision. And if I make a mistake, you guys are going to see it. And I'm going to regret it. And I know Ben can tell you, I had so many carpets out there. I had so much stuff. And I did not have peace. And so it wasn't until finally, I mean, sometimes, you know, we make decisions, we opportunities are come, and we just go like that. It's important to wait until you have peace. And it wasn't until I had peace that I made the decision. And it's so very important to do that. So, we must prepare. Now, for the opportunities, consult God. Make right decisions. Now let's look at another portion of what we confess. I love this one. This is really what I thought I was going to just do this, but I did more. And maybe I will expand on this one later. But we confess, I thank you, Lord, for the favor of God upon my life. I thank you, Lord, for the favor of God upon my life and the grace to prosper as you have promised me in your word. Do you know the meaning of that? You know, so many times, sometimes I take for granted, because I've been in church all my life, you know, been raised by a Christian family, been taught things, been taught favor, and I just think, oh, well, everybody knows that. No, not everybody knows that, because, you know, like I used to think, well, everybody knows the 91st Psalm. They should, you know, I'm sure they quote the 91st Psalm all the time. No. One person asked Denise one time, when Denise said to her, well, you just need to quote the 91st Psalm over that. And she said, well, what does the 91st Psalm say? Denise was so shocked, because that is just a staple, you know, in our home. But I thank you for the favor of God upon my life. Let's look at Psalms 5:12 in the NIV. It says, for surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. And then Psalm 90:17 in the Amplified, it says, and let the beauty and delightfulness and favor of the Lord our God be upon us, confirm and establish the work of our hands. Yes, the work of our hands, confirm and establish it. There are many, many scriptures about the favor of God. That's just two of them. What is the favor of God? Well, you know, it is God blessing his people. God, the grace of God. You know, we were saved by God's favor. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Do you realize that when you accepted Christ as your Savior, God's favor began working in your life nonstop? Yeah, God's favor began working in your life nonstop. Being born again was just the starting point. You know, God's favor is the power that changes things for us. Is the power that changes things for us. But once again, you know, you may not be recognizing how God is bringing favor across your path. Favor across your path. I mean, I ask, start with the little things. I ask for a favor for a close parking place. Yeah. Just yesterday, I was at Sam's. Thank you, Father, for a close parking place. And somebody got what I thought was my parking place. But I went around the block, kept on thanking God, and guess what? I got one closer. Got one closer. I mean, when my kids were in school, especially when they were in an elementary school, when they only had one teacher, and, you know, you're with that teacher all day long, we prayed for God's favor. Thank you, Lord, that the teacher that they get this year, well, we will have favor, that my kids will have favor with. They'll be the teacher's pet. Yeah. One time, this was actually when Craig was in the seventh grade, and he was taking shop. It was an elective, and the teacher that he had, it was not only for that class, but he had him for math, and he was, oh man, he was a grumpy teacher. And actually, Craig was afraid of him, because they had drafting paper. We had all of these things, supplies that we had bought or given money for. And Craig said, Mom, I need to go get some supplies. I said, son, I've already given the money to the teacher for that. He said, yeah, but I'm afraid to ask. My pencil is way down here and I'm afraid to ask. This teacher will get all over us. I said, son, guess what? because he had him for math too, and Craig was good at math. And I said, guess what? We're going to ask for God's favor in this situation. You are going to be Mr. and I'm not going to call his name. You're going to be his pet. Yeah, teachers do have pets. I'm sorry to tell you, but they do. There are just some kids that they just like better than others. All right, I know. You got teachers in here. I know. But you do. Just admit it. Guess what? Craig found favor with that teacher and was able to finish that year in peace. So, favor positions us beyond our abilities. Favor positions us beyond our abilities. When we're talking about favor, we're talking about that God sets us up many times to accomplish things beyond what our skill or qualification is. I mean, look at David in the Bible. When God sent Samuel to anoint a new king, hey, David wasn't in the room. You know, all of the boys were there, and God said to Samuel, no, that's not the one, that's not the one, that's not the one. And so finally, Samuel said, do you have any others? He said, oh, yeah, you know, I have the youngest out there that he's tending sheep. He was overlooked by his own family. Yet, guess what? He was God's chosen one. Why? You see, because God saw beyond his status as a shepherd and looked at his heart. Imagine for a moment how David must have felt. Standing there, a young shepherd, suddenly anointed to be king. He didn't have experience in battle. He didn't have military training. And certainly he wasn't the status of his brothers. But God's favor set him apart from all of the others. You know, when I was commissioned to do all the interior design selections on this campus, well, it was simply because that we didn't have the budget to hire anybody, but it fell on my part. I didn't have any experience. I didn't have any training. I had to depend upon God's favor. And you know what? He directed me. He helped me far beyond my abilities. Now, does your mind give you a fit? Yes. The first time when this building was built and I'd selected the things for this auditorium, and it was Winter Bible Seminar, and I had nightmares. People walking into this building saying, ooh, who decorated this? And I had to say, no, devil, I'm not going to listen to you, because I have God's favor and he has directed me. He has directed me. So, next point, hurriedly. Favor brings us the right connections. Favor brings us the right connections. Think of Ruth. Ruth, a Moabite widow. She followed her mother-in-law to a land that she wasn't familiar with, to Israel. She said, you know, she was an outsider, but she trusted God enough to say, your God will be my God. And guess what? That led Ruth to the field of Boaz, a man of influence. And in Ruth 2:10, it says, so she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to Boaz, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? And of course, we know through this connection, she was blessed and her life changed forever. And she became a part of the lineage of Jesus. So know that God brings favor to you through connections. Through connections. God's favor often comes through the people that he puts in your path. Sometimes it comes through people that he puts in your path. I know so many times we need to realize that he is leading us. It's important that we develop right connections. Right connections, right connections. You know, when we were endeavoring to get immigration status for our international students, it wasn't possible for our type of school. When all of a sudden someone said, I think there is an opening. So the dean went over to Oklahoma City to apply. He thought that he wanted to see this one. In fact, he was scheduled to see this one person. And that person was busy. And this other guy came and said, I can help you. And first of all, the dean said, I'm supposed to be waiting on this one. And he said, oh, come on in. I'll help you. We'll make a long story short. That guy that we needed to fill out the application for us to be accredited to accept international students was a follower of our ministry. Was a follower of our ministry. And then, of course, he filled it out. But then we needed someone in Congress. You know, because of government, it takes so long. And we needed this. This was in June, and we needed this by September. Well, sometimes it can take years. Well, guess what? My husband had made connections with the senator. Got it through from June to September. That's a miracle in itself. He was a congressman. Connections. It is so important that so many times favor brings us to the right connections. And sometimes we may wonder, a person may come across our path that somebody wants us to meet. Well, why should we meet them? I don't have time to meet them. Yeah, you don't ever know when you may need that connection on down the line. You better take time to develop relationships. Relationships, because relationships are so very important in our life. God, so many times, works through people. So be willing to step out and make relationships. And you say, well, you know, I'm kind of shy. Well, you better get out of it, guys. Well, I don't like to talk. Well, you better get out of it. And I can be hard on that because I was shy and I didn't like to talk. So anything that I've been hard on is because I had to overcome it myself. My husband can talk to a doorpost, you know? But I can't. I mean, I couldn't. But guess what? You have to develop those skills if you want good opportunities coming your way. Now, sometimes, you know, we are the ones that will be the Boaz to someone else. Maybe you have connections that somebody else needs. And so make sure that you do that. That you are the one. So God's favor. In conclusion, we must align our belief with our confession. We must recognize opportunities. We must prepare for opportunities. We must consult with the Lord before making decisions. We must recognize that we do have God's favor working in our lives. God's favor positions us beyond our abilities. And God's favor will bring us to the right connections. I trust that not ever again will you ever make your confessions in our offering prayer with not claiming and believing every confession that you make. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we just come to you now. We thank you, Father, for your grace. We thank you, Father, for your grace, your favor that you bestow upon us. We thank you, Father, for giving us, oh, ma passe le brio bache, so many opportunities to come our way. We thank you, Father, that you desire us to be successful in our life. And so we commit to you, Father. Oh, we commit to you to listen to your voice, to obey that voice, and to step out in faith to receive from you. As every head continues to stay bowed, perhaps this morning you say, well, you know, I have never accepted Christ as my Savior, and so therefore I don't have his favor, God's favor working in my life. And today you say, I want to invite him in my life to be my Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Is there anyone, by show of hand, I want to accept Christ as my Savior? I want his favor upon my life. I'm looking around. Or you may say, you know, I once knew God, but I've gone away from him like the prodigal son. And I want to publicly come and declare that I want to return to the Lord. If you are there, raise your hand. Or you may say, you know, I've been in church all my life, but I don't even know that if I've ever prayed the sinner's prayer. Anyone on those three invitations? I said one. All right. Now, there is another benefit that God has given us, and that is when we receive Christ as our Savior, we are born of the Spirit. But there's another experience called being filled with the Spirit. Over in Acts 2:4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If you've never experienced that experience gives you boldness in your life, gives you power in your life. And you say, yes, I want to receive the Holy Spirit this morning. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Now is your opportunity. Well, if you've raised your hand or should have raised your hand, I would ask you to do one more thing. If you would stand up, bring all your belongings with you and come down here. I want to meet you and I want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Let's sing something.
And I surrender.
Come on down. Come on down. Hallelujah. 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 I'm sure there's others. Come on. This is your opportunity. This is your opportunity. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. Yes, God wants to give you favor. He wants you to be successful. success in life. He wants to lead you. He wants to guide you. He wants to direct you. But guess what? You've got to accept Christ as your Savior. You've got to make Him the Lord of your life. You've got to surrender your life to Him. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. Yes. Come on down. Come on down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Anyone coming from the balcony? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, you guys have made the best decision that you'll ever make in life. If I were to say I was going to give you this, how do you take it, these books? How do you take it? You what? All right. You have to reach out your hand, right? Take them. Now, all of you are going to get those books. But that's just like accepting Christ as your Savior. It's a gift. We can't earn it. There's nothing we can do, but He loves us so much that we just say to Him, I take you, Jesus. I take you. Let me pray for you, and then you're going to go to a room to where others are going to talk to you and help you with whatever you came down for. Father, we thank you for these precious ones that have come to receive Christ as your Savior or to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We thank you now that whatever the gift that they came for, I thank you that they shall receive it now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. There's brother, yes, Brother Tad here will take you to a room where there are people there waiting for you. Yes, go this way. Go this way. Hallelujah. Let's give him a hand. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Well, let's all stand up. I trust that you will adhere to what I've said this today. And hey, ask for favor everywhere you go. Yeah. You know, don't be bashful if you're, what, over 55. You have favor, you're a senior citizen. Take advantage of that, y'all. We've earned it, right? Connection team. Go to those that have raised their hands. Pastors, you may go to the doors. Don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock. Come, we're going to have a wonderful time in the Lord. Have a great afternoon. We'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock. God bless you.
And I will remain confident.